Okay, first of all, it is an absolute pleasure to, what a pleasure. It is an absolute pleasure to be here, and I just want to open up by noting a couple of different things by way of introduction. I hope it is okay that I'm standing right here, just I think it makes sense. Couple apologies to begin with. Number one, I almost always try to have source sheets whenever I speak. I happen to have a source sheet. Unfortunately, the place on Rehov Aza that usually I go to make copies when I'm here, unfortunately was closed today, so I have sources. If anyone wants them afterwards, you can, have them. But I'll try to quote some things for you and tell you where things are, so hopefully you can be able to look things up, and certainly I can send it to you if it's at all something that you're interested in. It is also, just to point out, it is a real pleasure to be able to be in this Beis Medrash and to be able to be part of this really beautiful and wonderful program. A real thank you to Rabbi Tarrigan for his graciousness in hosting. And a real, again, it's something which is very, very nice. I point out only by way of Hakaras HaTov that a very old friend of mine, Rabbi Willie Roth, originally from Teaneck, just finished Harvard Law School, and is now a lawyer in the city, is the one who originally envisioned this idea, and I believe put together the first year of it. And it's a real credit to him. Sometimes when we start ideas, we start projects, it's something very powerful when they're able to continue afterwards. This is a topic. We're going to try to do our best to do a good job with it. I believe we'll try to end at about 1:45 or so. Some of you know that my mind sometimes turns off around 9:30 at night, so we're way past that point. So I'll try to stay behaved, and I'll try to be as clear as possible. Let's start like this. It is very clear that Talmud Torah is something that we are not just supposed to do. It is not only a chiyuv. It is also something which is supposed to generate a certain degree of simcha. Pasuk can say for Tehillim, many of us know it from davening, Pekudei Hashem, Yisharim, Misam Chelev, the laws of the Ribono Shel Olam. Those are things that give us the potential. We rejoice in them. We know this is true even halacha lemaisa. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Tainis, the Gemara in Maseches Moikatan, in Avel, a person in mourning, or a Jew on Tisha B'Av, so it's usher for him to learn, because Torah is something which allows a person to rejoice, at least in one drush of the Gemara, and it's not appropriate always to be so happy. Sukkot, we know, is also Zman Simchaseinu. I thought it would be appropriate to speak a little bit about how a person experiences some of the joy that a person should hopefully feel in regards to Torah, as we are 24 hours or so, unfortunately less than that, away from Simchas Torah. So it is also appropriate also to speak a little bit about the Simcha of Torah, and hopefully to have some understanding how a person is able to experience that. I want to highlight two approaches tonight. We could speak for a very long time about how a person experiences Simcha and Torah, but I want to speak about two perspectives. One is going to be Salvechik, the Rav, representing a world of bris, and how the Rav understood and spoke about how a person comes to love and develop a certain kind of emotional connection to Talmud Torah. We're not going to have time to develop ideas at length, but to get some good insight into the Rav's perspective. The second person we're going to speak about is someone that I think some of us may be familiar with, certainly if we're in touch with the Neo-Hasidic world or went to Camp Hatch, which is probably the same thing. So then we're going to be a little bit in touch with Rav Kluger. Rav Avinfi Kluger is a very chashuv Hasidic figure in Beit Shemesh, who's written a bunch of different svarim, a major figure if you're holding in the impact of Hasidus and modern orthodoxy. So if Kluger is a very significant figure, and I want to speak a little bit about how he and a couple of his svarim relates to developing Simcha and Talmud Torah, they are going to be very different. Rav Kluger is not the same as the Rav. They have different perspectives, different world views, and we're going to try to do our best to be able to understand both of them and hopefully be able to appreciate what each of them has to offer. Let's start like this when we speak about the Rav. I have to just issue this quick qualification. Every time there's a Machlokas HaRishonim, that's not called a Brisker Torah. The fact that the Rashba or the Rambam and the Ravid argue does not make it Brisker. It makes it a debate amongst medieval scholars. It's a Machlokas HaRishonim. The fact that a person gives a pshat or a hesber in a machlokas does not make it brisker. It's called an explanation of a debate. Many great people did it even before Reb Chaim. Brisk, if we're being somewhat sophisticated. So the world of brisk means a couple of different things. Some of us spoke about this last year in Kayetzman. The world of brisk means a couple of different things, and there are different versions of brisk, certainly nowadays. But it does, at least on some level, without getting into any real details, refer to a certain kind of methodology when learning Gemara. It is an attempt at, the way the Rav describes it in Halachic Man, it's an attempt at taking ideas and putting them in objective, abstract categories. Brisk at its core tends to be less focused on halacha lemaisa. It's an intense intellectual endeavor to try to understand primary questions. Some would use terms like that. You're less interested in sort of side points, understanding main ideas, main categories, how they work. And there's a lot of other, again, nuances within the world of brisk. Brisk, typically, we associate with a world that is incredibly intellectual. When we think about the Rav, you think about Reb Chaim, I imagine that many of us appropriately think about a world of Talmud Torah that is very, very, it's rigorous intellectually. It is one that is incredibly demanding and stimulating. And when you think about love of Talmud Torah, so the world of brisk is not always the world that we associate so much with that kind of Ava. Again, especially when the Rav even speaking about in Halachic Man, the Rav talking about how the world of Torah, the world of brisk, he argues what Reb Chaim did was he took people who would have been pulled, intellectuals who would have been pulled towards the world of secular thought and secular philosophy, and he gave them a model for how they could learn Gemara in that same way. And that's something which, again, we don't typically associate with the same kind of emotional connection. It is, however, true, even in this sugya, one kind of a brisker idea. You have this sometimes. I don't know, you spend like your summers around in certain camps. I remember God's question even like this year from a kid. You're talking about how it's usher to learn Torah and Tisha B'Av because it makes you happy. And the kid is like, Rabbi, I'm telling you, I should learn Torah and Tisha B'Av. For sure. So the Rav's going to speak about, again, this is kind of like a brisker kind. The Rav, Shiuri HaRav and Yani Avelas, the Rav's going to talk about how the learning of Torah is objectively a Maisa Shel Simcha. You may not feel it, but objectively, that is called an act of Simcha. It's an abstract kind of an idea, relates less to your subjective personal experience, but that's one, again, so for the Rav, there are elements where Simcha appears to be not as personal, not as felt. But the Rav himself, when he speaks about his relationship to Talmud Torah in a bunch of different contexts, the Rav very clearly and very powerfully articulates a very strong personal connection, emotional, experiential love he has for Talmud Torah. In a somewhat well-known talk the Rav gave at an RCA convention in 1975, those of you that I think that was when he spoke out against Rabbi Emanuel Rachman, if any of you are. How many of you are aware of that, Rabbi Rachman, Agunas? I imagine as such. Okay, that was interesting. The Rav spoke about how as follows. When he taught Torah, he says he would walk in. He, the older man, talking to students who were in their earlier mid-20s, beginning of the shiur, he's old and they're young. At the end of the shiur, they feel worn down and he feels rejuvenated and ready to go. That Torah had the ability to bring a certain sense of youth. The Rav, as is well known, went through a year in which he experienced three different aveluses. He lost his wife, he lost his brother, and he lost his father. I believe all within the same year. And the Rav spoke about Lule Sorasa, if not for Torah, being there on some level to provide a certain sense of comfort, provide a certain sense of joy. So the Rav spoke about how, 1967, I would have lost my sanity in the year of Triple Avelos in 67. I was on the verge of mental collapse and breakdown. I did not. I emerged victorious, and this is due to one thing only. I would say my mad dedication to Torah. I'm not trying to boast, I'm trying to tell you the truth. he spoke about when I opened Gemara, how he feels a sense of Shekhinah. Therefore, the study of Torah has never been for me dry, formal, intellectual performance. Talmud Torah is more than intellectual. It is for me an ecstatic experience in which one meets God. Let's talk about how it happens. The Rav, the great intellectual, is talking about a certain kind of ahava he has for Talmud Torah. The Rav's talking about a certain kind of love. Where does it come from? When you're sitting sometimes and you're reading through Reb Chaim, so where does it come from? Where's the ahava, where's the connection between a brisker derech, a certain rigorous kind of learning, and at the same time cultivating a certain sense of ahava? How do those things come together? So let's start like this. I think two elements of the Rav's thought. The first, I happen to think, is probably more Hasidic than brisker, but we'll leave that for another time. The Rav often pointed out that the definition of simcha in Chumash, simcha we know from the pasuk in regards to Sukkot, Torah tells us in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Chav Gimel, Ulkachtem lachem b'yom harishon pri etzadr, you're taking dal minim, usmachtem lefnei Hashem elokeichem shivas yamim. The Rav famously pointed out that simcha always comes with a feeling of being lifnei Hashem. Real joy, said the Rav, always comes with a certain sense of proximity to Ribono Shel Olam. Now, God has no body. God does not have a guf, if you are the Rambam. Doesn't have it. So, what does it mean? It means I'm not physically close to Ribono Shel Olam. It means I am, in a certain sense, experiencing a closeness that a Jew has. That's simcha. Usmachtem lifnei Hashem Elokeichem. Often simcha comes with a feeling of greater proximity. Avelos, famously, the Rav in the Yortzeit Shirim suggested, Avelos is where there is more distance from Ribono Shel Olam. I feel further away, and therefore that comes with a sense of sadness. For the Rav, if simcha comes with closeness, so then where does the simcha of Talmud Torah come from? There's no greater act of being closer to the Ribono Shel Olam like serious Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah is how a person gets closer to Hashem. Let's just dig for 1 second. Why does the methodology matter? Why does it matter how I learn? Because there are certain modes of study. If the Torah is the chachma of the Ribono Shel Olam, if it is the way that I cultivate a relationship with Ribono Shel Olam, so what better way to cultivate that connection? What better way to feel a certain shaychus rather than learning in a deep and meaningful way? For the Rav, it goes one step further. Let me give a little bit of background here, but it's a very powerful idea. At the core of Rosenzweig certainly argues, it is a core component of what Brisker Torah is trying to do. Parsh Bereishis is coming up. One of the things that we're told about man is that man has a Tzelem Elokim. Man is created in the image of God. Being that that is what we are told about man, many, many Baalei Machshava, many Jewish philosophers, struggle at length to define what does it mean to have a Tzelem Elokim. It is so critical, it is not coincidental, that Rambam and Mor Nevuchim, Reb Chaim Volozhiner and Nefesh HaChaim begin their great works of Machshava attempting to understand what does it mean to have Tzelem Elokim. I made a bracha already. And I'm not in a sukkah right now, I know that. I'm sorry. It's water. For the Rambam, Tzelem Elokim means man's intellectual capacity. For the Meshech Chachma, Tzelem Elokim means the fact that man has free will, Bechira Chafshes. For the Maharal, certain ideas in Torah Sachasidus, it means that man is pre-programmed, there's a deep connection to Ribono Shel Olam. For the Rav, the definition of Tzelem Elokim, this is a version working off of an idea from Chaim Volozhiner. I mean, Walter Wurzberger pointed this out years ago, that part of what the Yisod of Tzelem Elokim is, says the Rav, is man's creative capacity. Creative capacity. One of the ways that you tap into what it means to have a Tzelem Elokim, to have a little spark, a little piece of the Ribono Shel Olam in you, is your capacity in learning, your capacity in life to be creative. In certain contexts, the Rav speaks about it in regards to Talmud Torah. In others, the Rav in general thought creativity has a certain value. But partially, what the Brisker Derech was, in a certain sense, was a methodology of Torah learning with a goal of partially positioning you in order to be able to be more creative. It was towards a goal of you introducing your own kinach, your own insight, your own idea into the world of Torah. That is not simple. Rav Rosenzweig, in an important article, points out, it's not something which you can, you know, learn three or four cute tricks and suddenly be able to recreate in any significant way. It is, however, something which a person can be able to master, to be able to introduce a degree of creativity. If you want to talk about one kind of a Rav-like idea, the Simcha of Talmud Torah comes because Torah is Lifnei Hashem, and the higher quality Torah is more Lifnei Hashem. But the kind of Talmud Torah, I would suggest, which is more creative, the kind of Talmud Torah where you are sitting there and you are being part of the Mesorah, that is a Talmud Torah in which you are much more engaged, in which you are much more involved, in which you are much more likely to experience a degree of Simcha. Number one, for practical reasons, we connect more to those things that we're playing a real role in. When I'm contributing, suddenly I care a little bit more. We also happen to, if Simcha is Lifnei Hashem, so tapping into your Tzelem Elokim is a great way to be able to develop a certain kind of connection. Tapping into your Tzelem Elokim, it's a certain proximity now, a closeness that I feel that I'm able to feel for Ribono Shel Olam. For the Rav, the Simcha, ideally, a person experiences. This is why the Rav writes in Halachic Man, in the early days of the Musar movement, I'm sorry for some of the repetition, those that have heard this before, in the early days of the Musar movement, Velazhen could not handle, there was no Musar in Velazhen. Adio Mazeh, Brisk in Yerushalayim, has no Musar Seder. Not happening. Musar, at its core, Velazhen couldn't handle. Why not? So the Rav suggests in Halachic Man, because the Musar movement in its core, again, Nevardic may be the more extreme version of this, but in its core, Musar is depressing. It's depressing. What we call Musar sometimes nowadays is like a nice version of positive psychology. But like original, real Musar, there's something a little bit depressing there. Halachic Man, said the Rav, could never handle that. Because Halachic Man is positive. Halachic Man conquers. Halachic Man creates. Halachic Man feels good about himself. When you're in a position like that, you experience a bit more Simcha. You experience a bit more joy. When someone's beating up on you, when someone's going at you, sometimes that lowers us a little bit. For the Rav, it comes with ambition, learning at a high level, learning with a particular methodology. It comes with learning in a way where a person's going to be creative. It comes with learning in a way where a person's supposed to be positive. I feel like I'm part of the Mesorah. An article came out yesterday or 2 days ago, a nice description of the Rav's first year in Stern College to women. The Rav at the end of in his first Gemara year there, the Rav at the end spoke very powerfully in other contexts also, that when he was teaching Torah, the feeling of you're being part of the Mesorah, that these people are walking in the room as you're speaking. I believe I am a TABC, a very proud TABC alum. He did not do it when I was there, but I believe I heard that Rabbi Adler in TABC, when he quotes a Rambam as shtick, will have the guys in the room stand up, because the Rambam's entering the room right now. The feeling of a live Mesorah, something which is very powerful, and that's a Mahalach of the Rav. I want to shift to a new Mahalach, one that is very, very different. Some of us may be familiar with some ideas from the Rav. I imagine fewer are familiar with Rav Kluger. Let me start by pointing out as follows. If I can share this may not interest some of you, but I believe it should interest all of you, and I'm going to say it therefore, even though it will make this year somewhat less exciting for some of you, but I want, for the record, it's important. In the world of sociology, this is important to know. So there are people in universities who study Kabbalah. Recently, in the last, I don't know, several decades, people have started to study contemporary Kabbalah. How Kabbalah is learned nowadays. The professor Jonathan Garr, professor in Hebrew U, who's written a lot about how Kabbalah is studied nowadays, he pointed out a couple of years ago, interesting article, Some of us are going to be familiar with some of these names. You have a new kind of a trend. If you're into some Neo-Hasidus, you're going to be familiar with this. If you're not, these are good names to be familiar with in the quest for being broader. You have people who are part of the Ashkenazi world, part of the Ashkenazi Haredi world, people who identify in some level as being Hasidic, who are not officially or at least functionally part of any real Hasidic sect. I'll give you some names to be familiar with. One of them is Rav Tzvi Meyer. Rav Tzvi Meyer, you're familiar with. He's shayach to the world of Amshnav events, some other worlds, but he's really functioning a bit on his own. Rav Itcher Meyer, if any of you are holding Rav Itcher Meyer, Morgenstern, a very important kubbal. Also, shayach to, on some level, he's a chassid of Breslov, on some level, he's really not. Some of these figures who are enormously popular. So, Professor Garb has an article talking about some of these people. They are, Rav Kluger is in this group. Rav Kluger is Hasidic. He has his own sort of place in Beit Shemesh. He's very connected to the world of Breslov. Rav Kluger happens to be someone, though, who functions somewhat independently. Somewhat independently. Some very, very nice Sfarim. And it comes, they view themselves in many ways, this is important, as really tapping into the original spirit of the Baal Shem Tov. You ever wonder about that? You're like, I'll just give you like the 5 second hara. You ever wonder, original Hasidus, so what people will be told is that it became too intellectual, it was too much, it was too elitist, and therefore we have to like spread it to the masses. And now you go to a tish from a Rebbe who inherited his position, from his father who got it from his father, and there's like set places where all the Hasidim sit, the older ones here and him there. And there's a feeling sometimes, I'm not taking sides in it, although I did just give some of my cynicism over, there is a feeling sometimes that there's a little bit of distance from the original world of the Baal Shem Tov, and these guys are trying to bring it back a little bit. The fact that they don't come from Chashuv Yichus always is a mila. It's awesome. The Baal Shem didn't necessarily, Kazan Tzermagia didn't necessarily, it's tapping into something. Rav Kluger in regards to Simcha of Torah says a couple of things that are mind-boggling. They're very, very powerful. They are different from so many messages you will hear this year in Eretz Yisrael. What can you do? In a sefer called Yisrael Bechiri, it works off of elements of Shir HaShirim. So Rav Kluger starts with the following observation. It's a dominant part, Lidati, from what I've learned, a dominant part of his thought. I'm indebted to a close friend and Talmud of mine who got me a couple of his Sfarim. Rav Kluger points out like this. In the secular world, that which is viewed as being most chashuv, that which is viewed as being most significant, is often that which is largest. The more successful businessman has more money than the less successful businessman. It is that simple. The more you have, so the greater you, if I have a larger house than you, I have a nicer house. But if you put together nicely, that's how I'm going to judge it. It's how I'm going to assess it. I'm going to present Rav Kluger. We'll save some hours on it for a little bit. Rav Kluger says, people make the mistake of taking that secular insight and they extend it into the world of Talmud Torah, where they argue that just as more is better in regards to money, in regards to physical possessions, that more is also better in regards to ruchnius. Says of Kluger, they make the faulty assumption that more dapim is better. They make the faulty assumption that more gemara is better than less gemara. They're assessing things in a certain sense based on secular standards, secular assumptions, not based on internal halachic or not halachic, internal pneumistic Torah ideas. That's step one. How, therefore, do you begin to assess things a little bit? So if Kluger has another sefer called Divrei Chachamim Benachas, it's written very nicely. There, if Kluger makes the following argument. Start like this. If anyone here has ever learned Torah Sechassidus, so if Kluger points out, it's interesting. If you learn, I don't know, I'm guilty of it. I speak all the time in Shurim that I give about being very ambitious in Talmud Torah, setting very high standards and trying to meet those standards. I challenge you to find Chassidish Sfarim that speak a lot about She'ifos in Talmud Torah, speak a lot about being very ambitious in Talmud Torah. Shulchan Aruch HaRav we're going to put to the side for a little bit. But many of us would have a very hard time, even if we learned Chassidus, She'ifo is not spoken about that much. How come? Why not talk about it? For if Kluger, this is the insight. Every Jew has a unique chelek in Torah. Every Jew has a unique chelek in Torah. Some Jews are not going to be poskim. They never will become poskim. It is not their chelek in Torah to ever become a posek. Any Rebbe, says Rav Kluger, who tells his Talmidim, Chevra, all of you could become great poskim, is doing them an enormous disservice and is going to make it incredibly challenging for them to ever become very successful. For some who attain that level, it will be wonderful. But says, again, it's not the Rav at all. Not the Rav at all. But for many who will not attain that, they will live their lives with a sense of depression, a sense of failing to ever really accomplish, because Lemaisa, they were told you have to reach this level, and they were never going to reach that level. They were never really going to be there. What are you supposed to do, says Rav Kluger? This is very Breslov. Hayom. In the thought of Rebbe Nachman, this is not pure Chassidus only. This is, again, in the Piazetzner, you have nothing at all like this. The Piazetzner is the biggest believer in cultivating imagination for future. As far as Rabbi Nachman is a huge believer in focusing only on the present. You want to be successful? Don't worry about the past. Don't worry about the future. Live in that very moment. The notion of setting goals in learning, Rav Kluger suggests, again, we're broadening ourselves, ideas we're not always so familiar with. Rav Kluger suggests setting goals in learning is essentially arguing that the present is not as significant. It's saying that right now is not so important, but it will be important later. Rav Kluger argues that there is no greater distortion, maybe my exaggeration, of Torah Lishma than arguing that you have to focus that much on larger ambitions. Let's talk about it. What is Torah Lishma? Rashi Maseches Tainis, to learn Kasher Tivani Hashem Elokai, the Baruch Hu commanded me. In the Egle Tal, he'll speak about how Talmud Torah can be there in order to generate more simcha. The Rambam can get a little bit to Ava. In the thought of Reb Chaim Volozhiner, based on the Rush, Torah Lishma means learning Torah in a very deep way, to understand the sugya as well as possible. That's a very rough type idea. For Rav Kluger, it was written in the beginning of Sefer Tanya. Kotz of Chaim Vital, the great 16th century Kabbalist from Tzfat. The definition of, this is Reb Chaim Volozhiner, Dafa goes out of his way to argue with, and Nefesh HaChaim and Shardal, if you've learned it, it's one of the things he's referring to. That when you learn Torah, why am I learning? Torah is an act of Dveikus. When you learn Torah in the moment, you are closer to Ribono Shel Olam. When I'm thinking about my long-term goals and my long-term ambitions, you know what happens, says Rav Kluger? I'm not just in the moment being close to Ribono Shel Olam. Be it a pasuk, the methodology doesn't matter. Don't worry about brisk. Not significant. Just to sit down a little bit. And I open that pasuk, I open that mishnah, I open that gemara, and I learn it in that very moment. In that very moment, that's where the dveikus occurs. And if I'm thinking about how it's only a tool to get to my own creative chiddush, I have downplayed the significance of that moment. I have a 3-hour morning seder. And if it's all a setup, in order to have some vort at 11:47 or 12:23, whenever you have shir, then there's some sort of a deficiency in what happens throughout that time. Says Rav Kluger, each one of those moments is inherently valuable. You want to experience simcha in Talmud Torah, says Rav Kluger. The simcha comes when you learn how to experience the simplicity and the beauty of whatever you happen to be learning at that very moment. That is simcha. Feel good about that. You're a Jew, says Rav Kluger, who's never going to be a posek. You're always going to be just going to hear someone else's shir. Why can't that make you profoundly happy? Why can't that make you so incredibly fired up? You're a Jew who learns Torah, who is learning Torah lishma, who is learning Torah in a sense where you are cultivating a certain degree of dveikus. Let's chaz what we did so far. Let's try to speak a little bit about some compare and contrast. If you are in Bloom's taxonomy, if we're building as far as our levels. Let's start like this.
Torah is supposed to make you happy.
Simchas Torah is tomorrow night. Some of us even get into the dancing and things like that. Birkat Hashem by me, it should happen.
When that is...
My wife jokes that I like reading about dancing. It's the dancing itself where it gets a little bit more challenging. Whatever, yeah. Whenever I'm at a wedding and I have to like dance and she like sees me, I always like, yeah, she makes a lot of fun of me and I deserve all of it. Okay. And I am setting it up for those that are with me first. That's Torah to make it all the more awkward. Okay. Torah is supposed to make you happy. Torah is supposed to be something which is misameach you. While the Rav spoke in one context about it being like an al-pidin, objective value, it happens to be something which is subjective. A person wants to love Torah. We want to love Torah. So how do you do it? For the Rav highlights one model. The way you get it, it's Torah. The way you love Torah, it's by getting great at a particular approach at it. Learn how to learn Torah like a brisker. Learn how to really be the lifnei Hashem, mamish lifnei Hashem. Know how to analyze the sugya in a pure Torah way. Know how to get creative in your learning. Know how to get creative in your learning. Know how to master it and offer your own perspective in it. High-level, rigorous Talmud Torah is how a person with a particular methodology in the world of Rav, in the world of the Brisk, that's how a person, that's one way a person can achieve a lot of simcha. And to point out very quickly right now, the Rav spoke a lot about this topic. The Rav was also very fond of speaking. The Rav spoke nicely often about Jews who were not at the level where they could learn necessarily at the highest of levels. Did not mean that the Rav thought they didn't have what to offer. It certainly did have what to offer. But the Rav is highlighting in halachic man a certain extreme and pure version of one particular mahalach. Rav Kluger highlights something else. Rav Kluger also believes that learning Torah is really important and being good at Torah is good. Harai, he wrote a lot of Sfarim. Rav Kluger, though, is arguing is that there is something valuable. You want success and simcha in Talmud Torah? Don't worry about the past and don't towards the future. Learn how to enjoy the very moment you're in. Don't set goals too much. Goals, not the way to go. Not the way to go. Very different. They're really very different. Let me start like this. If we were learning, as I spoke before about like methodological tools, if we have a machlokes right now, so we'll leave it to MS, if we wanted to deepen this chakira, we could do so in a couple of different ways, if we wanted to be creative a little bit. One way you would say, again, I do this somewhat to have a good time, you could say that they're both true. They're both true, though each one for different people. You could argue the Rav model is the model that you want to embrace if you're really talented learning-wise. The Rav is the model you want to embrace if you have the capacity to excel with a certain methodology of study. You could argue that what Rav Kluger is saying is great for the chevra that like can't really hack it. It's great for the chevra that like can't really learn that much. So that make them feel good. You know what? Don't have aspirations, i.e., because you'll never achieve them, and therefore be able to just like rejoice. That's one way of doing it. That's one way of deepening your chakira a little bit. Each one refers to a different person. If you wanted to continue deepening it, you would say maybe it's not a difference between different people. Sorry, you would say maybe it's a question of different times. Again, we're going to try to get a little bit lemaisa here. We have moments, if you're at all like me, we have moments in which our learning feels great. We're being a little bit creative. You're learning a masechta, and you're learning, and it's all clicking, and it all feels good. I remember feeling sometimes, I still feel sometimes, that I have weeks in which I feel pretty intelligent and weeks in which I feel just, I don't feel that, like, nothing's clicking. Nothing's clicking. You feel like nothing's going on now. You have weeks when you feel better, weeks when you feel worse. Sometimes, to have a little bit of both, to have time where you experience some of the beauty of what the Rav described, the feeling of being part and one of the Chachmei HaMesorah. Kivi Eger has a question, and I'm able to get involved in answering it. I'm not passively looking at it from the outside. I'm part of that. That's one model. And for Rav Kluger on the other end, and there are times when a Jew is not feeling it that much. There are times where a guy feels like, as you're getting ready, you know, Chorev's man is not that short. It isn't. It'd be awesome if it was. It'd be awesome if there... It's a long stretch of time. And there are going to be times where I would argue... You want a little bit of Rav Kluger in your life. You want to be able to turn around sometimes and say, even though I didn't even understand that much what was going on in Tuckfield Cowing. I didn't follow that much what was going on. You know, I'm learning the Dofen Akuma on Maseches Sukkah, and I'm having a bit of a hard time. To have a little bit of that Rav Kluger, for 3 hours, you engaged in Dveikus with Ribono Shel Olam, learning at your level and your chelek, however you were able to. That should generate legitimate simcha. To lifnei Hashem, a sense of Dveikus. To be able to think about how a Jew can take both of these perspectives and be able to do it. I would point out, this is from my own, my experience in talking to guys sometimes, be it in yeshiva and certainly afterwards. Some of us need a little bit of chizuk in the world of the Rav, and some of us maybe could benefit a lot from the world of Rav Kluger. There's what to be said. They're very, very different. Just because ideas are different doesn't mean that a person can't bring in elements of each. There are Jews who are so into the Rav idea, they beat themselves up when they can't learn at the highest way, they can't learn at the highest level. I have a very close friend who told me when he was in graduate school, again, it's late at night, I'm sorry if it's less source based right now, but I have a friend who was in graduate school, a couple of friends who worked very, very long hours, that had a tremendous struggle when they left the world of yeshiva to start working, not because they didn't have time to learn, but because they felt that if they couldn't learn Gemara, Be'ian, at a very deep and high level, it just wasn't worth it that much. That if you get too into a Rav kind of a Mahalach, much as I identify very deeply and very strongly with it, and I learn yeshiva full time, so, new. But there's a... For the Rav, if that transition can be a little bit challenging. If it has to always be ambitious, the Rav is giving you a highest level, he's not defining the only level. He's not defining the only way to learn. He's defining one way you can tap into it, Tzam Elokim, but Talmud Torah is so important anyway. And to be able to have in our sort of like toolbox, different mahalchim in cultivating a good degree of simcha. Pikudei Hashem Yisharim Misam Chelev. Talmud Torah is something which has the capacity to excite a person, has the capacity to bring an enormous amount of simcha to each and every Jew. The way that a person achieves it, Al Pi Din, we hold that it has simcha. I have some sources. We know some of the Mekoros. Rav Minahar and the Taz. No Isser of Motir Hana by Talmud Torah because it was given for Hana. The Hagdama of the Egle Tal. The Stipa that Birchas Torah we recite is really a Birchas Hananin on the pleasure of learning Torah. Vaharevna. There's a lot to be said for the joy and pleasure of learning Torah. If we want to experience that, we noted two Mahalchim. Mahalch number one is forward thinking. It is ambitious. It is high level. It is rigorous. It's being creative. It's being abstract. It's clocking lots of long hours, working very, very hard, not focusing as much on just on covering ground, focusing well, understanding things as well as possible in a deep way. That's in the world of the Rav. If you are if you're in the world of Rav Kluger, one of the ways we experience simcha is by just recognizing the unique schus we have. Fulfill your own chelek in Torah. Do your best. If you do your best, you're close to Ribono Shel Olam. Feel good and rejoice about that. That's why he says Chassidus Sfarim never spoke about She'ifos, because it distorts the main goal. The main goal is the beauty and the power of sitting with a sefer, be it a pasuk, be it a mishnah, be it a gemara, be it any sefer, and just rejoicing in that. May we be zocha, all of us, to be able to experience a pure Simchas Torah, a Simchas Torah in which we recite it not only as part of Klal Yisrael, but a Simchas Torah in which we anticipate. The Rav suggested, I'll just end with this idea because it's so beautiful. The Rav quoted from his father, Moshe Soloveitchik. We know that there are many kibudim that take place on Simchas Torah. Chasan Torah and Chasan Bereishis. Chasan Torah is when you complete the Torah. Chasan Bereishis is the beginning of Sefer Bereishis once more. In the world, it is often understood that Chasan Torah is the greater kavod, that Chasan Torah is the greater act, that's what it's about, the act of finishing. Moshe Soloveitchik, the Rav quoted, named his father, I believe, thought that the greater kavod is Chasan Bereishis, the act of starting again. If you want to experience a certain kind of simcha, may it be as we begin a new year of Talmud Torah, may it be one in which we both appreciate the beauty of the moment in the world of in the words of Kluger, and the enormous capacity of ambition, of intellectual stimulation modeled by the Rav and the world of Brisk. May we be zocha to really accomplish and experience true simcha. It's been an absolute pleasure. Have a wonderful night.